Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:23 p.m. That is on December 11th. And when we look at the markets today, there are a number of rather important milestones that have been hit, and particularly in Japan, the second section index, which we've regarded as a lead indicator for as long as I can remember, then it moved to a new high in here today. It's above 7,000. And we can see that it paused at 5,000, paused at 6,000, paused at 7,000, and now it is reasserting on the upside, having unwound about half of its overextension relative to the trend mean. And this is important. It's small cap shares in Japan that are doing better. They're benefiting both from fiscal and monetary stimulus, and indeed also the weakness of the yen. But the yen was not particularly weak in here today. What that would suggest is that there are other factors at play here. It isn't simply that we're getting an inverse correlation between the stock market and the currency. Now, obviously, that 114, or let's just call it 115 area, is an important Rubicon for the dollar versus the yen. When we look at it over just about all of this year, the dollar has failed at that 115 area, or just about getting up to it on a number of occasions, and it really does need to sustain a move above it to confirm a return to demand dominance. When we look at it on a weekly basis, this has been a lengthy consolidation following that really quite abrupt devaluation of the yen at in the last quarter of 2016. It has done pretty much nothing but range for all of this year. But we know that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. The dollar has found support in the region of the trend mean, and certainly the Japanese are beginning to think about how they might end their quantitative easing program, but they're well behind what's going on in Europe, who are well behind what is going on in the USA. There is another important consideration when we look at the Japanese market, and it isn't simply that the Nikkei is moving, and indeed the topics moved to new 25-year closing highs in here today. Now, we can see that it is not a new 25-year high, because back at the beginning of November it moved to a new intraday high, but this is a new closing high by less than 1 point. So it does need to sustain a move above 23,000 to really confirm that we're back in a position of demand dominance, but it is looking increasingly likely that it will in fact be able to do that. And another market that people have been watching a lot has been China, and it was up pretty robustly in here today, up over 1%, and that's following through on a similar move that we had on Friday. So that's confirming support in the region of 3,400, and that is coinciding with the region of the trend mean, and something that I've regarded this market as a manufactured uptrend for the much of the last 2 years. And if that is indeed the case, then the Chinese administration are very keen to have a quiescent stock market as they push through a number of reforms, and not least in the banking sector. But I don't think that this banking index is a particularly good barometer for what's going on out there in the wider economy, for the simple reason that it is dominated by massive banks, whereas the majority of the risk that is outstanding with regard to bad loans, or that all the money that's been extended to special purpose vehicles, resides in the smaller unlisted entities, and that is something that is worth considering. I personally think that when we look at the commodity complex, because it is so heavily dependent on China in numbers that cannot easily be fudged, then it gives us perhaps a pretty good window into what is going on within the Chinese economy, and most particularly where most of the leverage resides, which is in the infrastructure and property sectors. Well, copper bounced from the $3 area in here today on that COMEX contract. It's unwound most of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. So far, this is a relatively similar size range to the one that we saw at the beginning of this year. And as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean and the lower side of this evolving range, then I think we can give the benefit to higher to lateral ranging. And it was a relatively similar story for the rest of the industrial metals. They were all reasonably firm. And Nickel prices were also firm in here today. I don't have updated prices for the LME nickel contract, but it is right in the region of the trend mean. So maybe we should take a look at the ETFS security, which was up about a quarter of a dollar in here today. We're beginning to see very tentative signs of demand returning to dominance. Personally, I am considering whether I should increase my position, having sat through the pullback. I do think that there is an emerging bullish story for nickel, and not least if they split the contracts. But the other big thing that we saw in here today was oil. Brent crude moved up to a new recovery high intraday and is closing out at a new recovery high. The Forties pipeline for the Brent oil fields has had to close down because of a leak, and they're going to have to source the leak, they're going to have to plug the leak, and then they'll probably have to test whether the integrity of the line is secure. So that introduces an area, an element of uncertainty for the Brent contract, considering that it represents the benchmark for a significant proportion of global supplies. Now, this is also happening against a background where the unconventional oil and gas is coming under increasing pressure to deliver profits to their investors, so that is something that they will have to consider. And then obviously the Saudi Arabians want to have a higher oil price as they move towards IPOing at least 5% of Saudi Aramco. But if we simply look at the chart pattern, then oil prices ranged below $60 for the better part of 2 years, and then broke above that level, have been consolidating for much of the last month, and are now pushing the upper side. And really a clear and sustained downward dynamic would be required to question potential for additional upside at the present moment. So what that should be doing is offering a salve to the oil sector. And Royal Dutch Shell continues to consolidate, and it's still a little bit overbought relative to the trend mean, but this generally looks like a bullish pattern overall. Then if we look at what's been going on in the UK, the pound was a little bit weaker in here today, not in a dynamic fashion, but the FTSE 100 is bouncing again from the region of the trend mean. I think it's important to look at this over the long term, because the most important thing it's done in almost 20 years is to break above 7,000. And it has spent just about all of this year ranging. But as long as it is holding the upward bias, and most particularly holding that 7,000 area, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I think it is a reasonable conclusion that the FTSE today is where the S&P 500 was, but back in 2011. And I think that gives us at least some indication of just how far behind the curve the rest of the global stock markets are relative to the continued outperformance of Wall Street. The S&P 500 was up additionally in here today. Again, it is back at another, another index that is at a new closing high, not at a new all-time high, but at a closing high. And more importantly, that we've had two little days of volatility. But what this is suggesting is that this market is now back in, or at least is still in a bull market environment. That if we look at it over the last year, then this has been a staircase step sequence uptrend, which has been punctuated by a number of ranges, and each of those ranges is relatively similar sized, and that we have not had a reaction of more than 80 points in almost a year. And as long as that remains the case, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. It's a very big, broad consistency characteristic. So that's, I think, rather an important point. Now, if we have oil breaking higher and commodities still starting to firm following a period of pullback, and China bouncing from the region of the trend mean, and an increasing number of markets that are breaking upwards, then That is suggestive that we're in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. We're on the cusp of getting pro-cyclical policies being implemented in the USA with tax cuts after a period of time where we have already been in a reasonably mature expansion. So what that suggests is that there is the potential for returns on stock markets and on the commodity markets to improve again next year, and for the pace of these advances to pick up. And that will have a that will have some effect on bond yields. So the 2-year yield has been rallying rather persistently for consecutive weeks, and it was up again in here today. So we're going to have interest rates hiked this week. And then people will start to look at what they can expect for next year. But as long as we are in a period where the economy is firing on all cylinders and the global economy is recovering, well, that is likely to be rather bearish for bonds. And 2-year yields have continued to advance, but the yield curve continues to decline, and it's down now to 56 basis points. The pace of the decline is picking up. It really has contracted quite a lot since the end of November, and so far there is nothing to say that this isn't going to continue to decline. Now, it could be 6 months, it could be a year before we get to a negative reading, but it is looking increasingly likely that it is going to move to a negative reading at some point in the next 18 months, and that will then give us a lead indicator of anything from between 6 and 18 months for the next recession. If that's indeed the case, we could be 2 years or even 3 years away from the next recession, which gives the market ample time to accelerate higher from here. And of course, when we get accelerations, it is a trend ending. It is representative of the third psychological perception stage, this time of a medium-term bull market, and it will also represent a changing of the guard in terms of performance when it eventually peaks. So these are important considerations. One thing is that as long as we have consistent uptrends, then there is no reason to lighten up. We do not have evidence of trend-ending characteristics. We know what those trend-ending characteristics will look like, but we don't have any evidence of them just yet. And if that is indeed the case, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And of course, then we should also look at gold. Because if we are still in this rather benign environment for the stock market, then the particular reason for owning hedges against calamity is not quite as convincing. And gold prices were in negative territory again in here today. They have sustained the move about below $1,250, and that does raise the prospect of a further test of underlying trading. But I think we do need to look at the weekly chart for some sense of perspective, because this continues to look like a period of right-hand extension following a type 2 bottom back at the beginning of 2016. But this period of ranging could be quite lengthy, and since it has now failed to hold the move above $1,250, it could be more volatile as well. Interestingly, platinum was in mildly positive territory in here today. It has not extended its decline, and it really is quite oversold in the short term. But what it needs to do is to post a clear upward dynamic from this particular area, and so far there hasn't been a great deal of evidence to support that just yet. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.